Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Friday, September 18th, 2020.
Bitcoin's trading at 10,844, flat for the last 24 hours, and Ethereum is at 377, down about 1% in the last 24 hours.
Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tracks, tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, well, let's start the day talking about Uniswap. So Uniswap recaptures DeFi buzz with their new token, UNI, Uni, and it's their big airdrop debut.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but they went out and did it. They basically set it up with an airdrop to anyone who had interacted with the DeFi contract. So if you have, this is a PSA for all of our friends out there. If you have staked on Uniswap, if you have done any trading with Uniswap, if you have at all interacted with a Uniswap pool, you are entitled to some UNI tokens. And they actually did an airdrop of 400 UNI tokens to anyone that was involved. The price immediately jumped up to about $6. So that's worth somewhere in the range of like $1,200 to $1,500 in terms of an airdrop. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I will say that like the price has held pretty well. People believe in Uniswap. Uniswap is obviously a VC-backed company. They are a pretty substantial company with a lot of money behind it. They are one of the first people to do DEX, a real legitimate sustainable DEX. So I think there's a lot of belief in this token. And I think there is this aspect of everyone's playing a little bit of chicken right now. The way they dropped this, I'm not sure that the token itself is worth the market cap that they're saying that it has reached. But where it's sitting right now, everyone's kind of playing a little bit chicken, holding onto their coins, waiting for it to sort of drop. But so far, it's held pretty well.
Yeah, it has. All right. And Coinbase Pro lists Uniswap token just hours after the $1,500 or so airdrop.
Yeah, I guess this is kind of Coinbase trying to stay legitimate or trying to stay relevant in the DeFi era. So obviously, you know, Coinbase is still a major exchange, but most people who are going to be trading UNI are going to be trading it on DEXs. Like that's just the plain matter of fact aspect of it is. For someone like Coinbase who already supports a lot of ERC-20 tokens, I'm sure it's just a literally, you know, 3-line code change to add a new ERC-20 token. So this was really easy. But this is them obviously trying to capitalize on the DeFi craze a little bit.
So some people have asked, you know, really was the Uniswap airdrop fair? I guess, you know, it was only for people who interacted directly with their protocol, and users of like Dharma or Paraswap did not get any of the tokens.
Well, then there's a couple ways to look at this. One is that if you are using a third-party service, if you're using like one of these smart contract wallets or one of these third-party services to interact with the contract, you are going to be left out of it in some cases. It depends how it's implemented and different ones. You know, the InstaDApp is set up in such a way that actually you would get rewarded for it. So it sort of depends a little bit. But what you always have to be careful about this, and this goes back to the early days of crypto. If you are using a service like this, or you're using a wallet like this, or you're holding your coins in exchange, when things like airdrops happen, there is always the chance that the smart contract holder or the exchange will not give you the coins. So that goes also if you think back to, you know, when Bitcoin Cash split from Bitcoin, that also was a major, you know, quote unquote airdrop. It was obviously a fork, but there were a lot of exchanges that could not or would not give those funds over to their users. Now, there's a secondary issue, of course, with wallets like this, that once you've deployed these wallets, if they weren't designed to be upgradable, then you can run into issues where they essentially have lost their ability to be able to handle new tokens like this. So always be careful when you're using a third-party service. Always be very conscious. The safest way to ever do any interaction with these services is to use your own wallet, use MetaMask, you know, basically handle all the coins yourself, own your own private keys. That is always the way that you will be guaranteed to have these things. You can't blame Uniswap for this. This is more an issue for either how these different wallets implemented their smart contract, or it's more on people saying like, hey, you know, you got a little bit of convenience, but at the cost of having less control over your actual coins.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Good to know. So next, Ethereum miner revenue hit a five-year high.
Yeah, and this is directly related to the number of Ethereum transactions. So it's not just the miner revenue hit a high. It's that there was 1.4 million transactions on the Ethereum blockchain, which is a new record. So, and as part of that, obviously, you're going to have mining. The mining of that is going to go through. So this is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. I feel like a lot of infrastructure is even going to start buckling under this. I mean, Etherscan is a good example. Like Etherscan is a major infrastructure player provider for a lot of the DeFi projects out there. 1.4 million transactions in a day is a lot. So this always gets back to this argument about, you know, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum. Like Bitcoin has really made a conscious effort to keep the number of transactions down. 1.4 million transactions in a day is not big in terms of like Visa or anything like that. But, you know, it is a significant amount of new data being ingested. It's a lot of new smart contract data. It's a lot of new address data. So this is, you know, this is not just a sign of great uptick in Ethereum. Obviously, all this was based on Uniswap. This is everyone who's interacted with Uniswap going to claim their airdrop tokens and then a lot of those people going to sell them. But this is a great sign for the industry, but also it's kind of like a warning sign about all the infrastructure that supports the industry. This might cause issues.
Yeah, well, it is amazing. It's another historical high for Ethereum transactions. Okay, next. So the Chicago DeFi Alliance is a group that really wants to bring maturity to yield farming and just the whole DeFi craze.
Yeah, the CDA as they're going by is essentially building a, let's call it an accelerator, what you consider a traditional incubator or accelerator in the startup space for DeFi companies. They've already graduated 7 companies. One of their first big ones was Teller. I think their approach to this is really, they have one little caveat that I think is really, really fascinating. And what that is that they can bring a large amount of, so they're partnering with different institutional or larger investors to be able to bring liquidity and money to their cohorts, to the graduating startups with a guarantee of amount of time. So one of the issues with DeFi in general is you have something like Sushi, or actually let's take a great one that I haven't thought about for a while, which is Spaghetti. You know, Spaghetti came in, it spiked, and then it disappeared, and I don't even know if we haven't followed it. I have no idea if it was a scam or what. But it's one of those things that like people put money in it and then they essentially pulled their money out almost immediately to go put into the next. I think it went from Spaghetti to Cream was the one after Spaghetti, and Cream was offering slightly better rewards. So everyone just dumped from Spaghetti, went over to Cream. And so that sucks if you're the protocol, because that gives you, that means you really have no, once you've lost a lot of your liquidity, you're going to lose users. Like that's really, really, really bad. And so that was a tough, you know, so having a structure whereby you can get investors and then they'll make guarantees for like 1, 2, 4 months of liquidity in your project is actually a really great deal. So I'm excited to see it. You know, I've been through accelerators before. They're really valuable for people that are working in startups. They're really valuable for younger team members or people that have never been in a startup before. So it's good seeing accelerators and seeing this model come to DeFi.
Yeah. And one of the companies that joined is Binance's US arm. Joined.
Yeah, getting into it. I mean, Binance is going full bore into DeFi right now. They're just diving in head first.
All right, last, let's just briefly touch on BurgerSwap.
Yeah, well, we're talking about Binance. The BurgerSwap is a Uniswap clone. I don't know, SushiSwap clone. It's a clone. Binance has their own blockchain that is a EVM compatible. So it's compatible with the Ethereum virtual machine. So that means the BurgerSwap could go out, fork Uniswap, move that over to Binance and then run it there. You know, I think what's the most interesting part of the story, so it's not interesting necessarily that someone did this. It's interesting, you know, it's the food craze is still going on. What's interesting about this though is that Binance has had to be very, this is really one of the first actual substantive projects on the Binance network. Binance has to be really careful because as opposed to Ethereum, which Ethereum doesn't really have an owner, like Ethereum is out there, it's owned by everybody. Everyone who interacts with it, there is no owner of Ethereum. Binance owns their chain very tightly. And so you really do have a lot more liability. So they've had to balance, like, do they talk about BurgerSwap? Do they promote it? I mean, it's obviously the first big DeFi project on their chain, but if they promote it, it turns out to be a scam, like, they're going to be directly liable for that, and people will, like, can actually hold them accountable for it. So they're in a much more interesting position than, like, the Ethereum ecosystem in general. We'll have to kind of watch how they maneuver around the different legal liability issues that they're going to have.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks, everybody.